Lord, let your living and active word find good soil in our hearts, or that nothing would choke it out. It would take root, and it would bear much fruit, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Yeah, I think we're in a day of bearing much fruit, you know. My Bible just kind of opened to this place today. I love when that happens too. I love a lot of times, majority of the time, I'll go through seasons where the Lord does this and where He doesn't. He will give me page numbers of my Bible to turn to, you know. And that the page number that I go to, it'd be, you know, that'll be the word for me that day. That'll be a fresh word. Because they're new every morning, right? Great is His faithfulness. So He's always speaking. So we need to broaden our minds to how I was in the courthouse the other day. And this lady who, she'd been to communion several times, and she goes to Blue Jean, I believe. She stopped me and asked me, she said, I keep seeing 555 on the clock, 555. I'm just drawn to it. I wake up and there it is, or go, you know. So we had to talk about that, what that means, you know, five, the number of grace, and it's just multiples of grace, you know, in the season where this, the grace of God has been released in your life and in a powerful way, which is His power, right? The power of God, the activity of God, all that stuff that grace is. So pay attention. I'm always looking around when I'm out driving. I'm looking at tag numbers. I'm looking at, you know, bumper stickers, signs. I'll just pay attention to what's going on. You know, Abby was talking about today, called me, and she was asking the Lord to confirm something with a cardinal, you know, and one like flew right beside her car, you know. I remember a lot of y'all may have heard this, and years ago I was picking Bishop up from the Birmingham airport, and I was sitting in the cell phone parking lot. Wait, that's how we do it. That's a great way to do it if you've never done that. Sit in the cell phone parking lot. When they get off the plane, get their luggage, they step on the sidewalk, call you, and then you can drive around there and get them so you don't have to park and do all that kind of stuff. But I was just kind of watching some birds fly in the distance, saw some mourning dove, and I just said, Lord, let one of those dove kind of fly over my car or something to confirm something you've just been speaking to me. So I'm looking out this way. I'm looking out the window. Car's here. I turn around. Right by my windshield is a mourning dove sitting there looking at me, you know. It's kind of squatted. And then the Lord said, how's that? I said, that's really good, you know. I got several stories of that. That's just one of the most amazing. But I have several stories of different things where the Lord has done like that. And even signs in the heavens. He loves doing stuff like that. So ask Him, you know. That's fun. It's fun, right? He keeps His relationship with us fun and always speaking in so many different ways. But my Bible is open to just Acts 22. And I like Acts 22, where 22 is another number that the Lord has used with me a lot. I know our friend Johnny back there is really into, he's a great Old Testament teacher. And I remember he loves doing the numbers, right? 30 and 40 and different numbers. God uses those things. It belongs to Him, not the enemy, right? But 22, the Lord used that years ago because, it was out of Genesis where the Pharaoh had two dreams. Both the dreams meant the same thing, but it came double because it was like a double witness. And as Joseph said, it's from the Lord and it will happen quickly, you know. So I believe this word is kind of from Him and it'll just happen quickly in our lives. And in Acts chapter 22, Paul is given another little version of what happened to him in Acts chapter 9 when he had that encounter with Jesus, you know, that awesome encounter, right? And then he said, I'll just kind of pick up here. We don't have time to read it all. A certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law and well known by all the Jews who lived there, came to me, standing near to me, said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. At that very time, I looked up and saw him, you know, scales kind of fell off of his eyes. And he said, the God of our fathers has appointed you to know His will, to see the righteous one, and to hear an utterance from His mouth. And you'll be a witness for Him to all men of what you have seen and heard. So I had that underlined. I've been there before where the Lord kind of, Lord, what is my what is my calling in life, or what is my deal? And it's just this. It's pretty simple, right? Has appointed us, one, to know his will, right? To know his wishes, his desire for my life. We all know that there's a will of God for our lives, okay? In Colossians 1:9, there's a really cool prayer he prays for them. You can go back and look at it. For this reason, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled to the fullness with the knowledge, intimate knowledge of his will, with all spiritual wisdom and insight. Okay? So you would know that. Paul prayed that. I mean, that's Jesus' prayer for us, that we would know his will, right? In the end of John 17, when he's speaking and he's asking, his last little prayer here, right when he was wrapping it up, the glory which you've given me, I've given to them, that they may be one as we are one, I and them, you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me, and love them even as you have loved me. The same relationship he has with the Father, he wanted us to have. The same. And he said, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, will be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory that you've given me, you know? And I know there's a being with Jesus where he is, seated at the right hand of God. He's there, he's here, and he's here, right? He's in the world. He's moving. Aslan is on the move. So there's, go through John, if you ever want to do a fun thing, go through the book of John and circle every time it says, and he sent me. I was sent. The Father sent, you know? Ton of times through there where Jesus talked about, I am sent. We've heard that for years here at Christ the King, you know, Bishop speaking of that, that, you know, Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing, only spoke what he heard the Father saying, right? And to give us the model of how we're supposed to live the Christian life, to go where he says go, to do what he says do, and follow that. That's pretty simple, right? And he's always leading, okay? So, to know his will, and to see spiritually, the eyes of our heart, to see Jesus, the righteous one, right? To know his will, and that you may see. This is a prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm doing okay without my glasses. I love this. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give you the Spirit. It says a Spirit, but actually the word is, would give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We know that's the Holy Spirit. So, and I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, so that you would know the hope, that expectation, the anticipation of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And the surpassing greatness of his power toward you, right? Three just cool things. You'd know his power. You would know your inheritance, everything, every spiritual blessing that you have in the heavenly places in Christ, that you would know that, right? And you would know the hope of his calling. You know, two sides of that coin, you know. We all have the same calling. His calling was, you know, to be with the Father, the intimate relationship. That is our calling, but it's also a calling of what we're to do, right? A calling that we would really know, that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened. And we know, again, real simple, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. The job of the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus real to us, okay? Again, real simple in Scripture. When the Helper comes, I like when he says Helper, you know? That's a great name for the Holy Spirit, meaning that you need help, right? When the Helper comes, because we need help, whom I will send in my name from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, I love that too, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify because you've been with me from the beginning. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative. Whatever he hears, he will speak. He will disclose of you what to come, and he will glorify me, and he will take of mine and make it real to you, and bring back to your memory everything that Jesus has said to you. So, very, you know, powerful thing about, it's not a thing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but how awesome that is. You know, I did a conference for this church, it was a Protestant church one time, and not a charismatic church at all, and did a four-part teaching on Holy Spirit, right? It just kind of de-weirdified the whole baptism in the Holy Spirit, because the denomination where I was brought up and got saved, you just didn't talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, it's just kind of shelf that thing. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit was for a certain place and time and not for today. And I thought, that makes absolutely no sense to me, you know, because it seems like I would need it, right? Jesus, that's what he does. He came to baptize us into the Holy Spirit. But then something happened to me in 1991. This guy named Chuck Jones, he was just Chuck Jones back then, Church of the New Covenant. I came up to visit him because this little church was just having this outpouring of the Spirit. And I was like a starving dog, you know. I thought, I'm so desperate, I will, Lord, whatever, you know, I would do cartwheels down the aisle, I'll do it. And so he just laid his hands on me and said, Jesus, baptize him in the Holy Spirit. Changed my life. I mean, just absolutely wrecked my world from then on. And I started hearing God's voice speak to me, you know. And the very first thing he ever spoke to me was, I need to turn my phone off. I saw myself running with the torch, you know, and I heard the Lord say, minister to the nations. And then I saw written out Isaiah 55:5, right? My word. So I didn't know what it said. I turned to this, look at it, and it said, I will make you a minister to the nations, you know. It was a really cool thing, the Lord. So I started my journey then of just hearing his voice. And that's just a priority of mine every day, to hear the words that he speaks. That's what, you know, Paul, to see the righteous one and to hear utterance from his mouth, right? I would see him, I would encounter him, and I would hear words from his mouth. Because we've been created to live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. And it doesn't take me very long, y'all, of not living out of those words or not hearing his voice, I can get real nutty, you know. I can go and my thinking can get just really screwy, nutty. I'll be out there, you know. And then, as we talked about yesterday, the oppression of all the other stuff, you know, the word begins to get choked out and I have to, you know. So they're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. That he speaks constantly. It's like he never hushes. I mean, he's just always speaking to us. When David said in Psalm 40, was his actual prayer was, Lord, clean out my ears. Because he says, it's almost the same scripture that you find in Psalm 139, which said, you know, his thoughts toward me, if I would number them, they would outnumber the sand. You know, his words, his thoughts, what he's thinking toward me. He says that again in Psalm 40. There's so many. But he says, Lord, clean out my ears so I can hear him, so I can hear your voice. So to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear an utterance from his mouth. That's pretty simple, isn't it? And trusting that he will lead me. And where he's going is where I'm going. Lord, what are you doing? Where are you going? I'm going to be right in there with you. Right? And wherever I go today, I'm trusting is where I've been sent. You know? Listening to what he wants to do. Amen? All right. So the enemy makes it complicated. The Lord has just made it real simple. Know his will. See everything you have in Christ. Experience everything you have in Christ. And to hear the words that he's saying, speaking. Amen.